Good morning, everyone. The Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. If anyone would like to stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, we'll get started. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Very good. Next up on our agenda this morning is item number 3. This is discussion for possible action, approval of the agenda for October the 20th of 2020. Mr. Osborne, do we have any changes or corrections to make to today's agenda?
Mr. Chairman, we recommend that we continue item number 12 to the November 2 County Commission meeting at the Zoom location.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? We have some feedback there. Go ahead if you'd like to make public comment on today's agenda.
I guess I came out of order. It's actually not on today's agenda. I'm with the Governor's Office of Economic Development, and my public comment was to share with the committee, the commission, the PEC grant that came out yesterday, and our efforts in the world to make sure that as many people are applying as possible.
Could I get you to hold your comments for just a couple more minutes until we get to that portion on the agenda?
Yes, sir.
It'll only be another moment. We're almost there. Once again, I'll ask if there's any other public comment for today's agenda. Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
I move to approve today's agenda.
I'll second motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 4. This is today's consent agenda. Are there any public comments regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none. If Commissioner Carmona would entertain a motion to approve.
I move to approve today's consent agenda.
Second motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 5. This is today's public comment. And so the representative from the Governor's Office, if you'd like to start with your public comment. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. My name is Sonia Coya. I am with the Governor's Office of Economic Development, GOET, and I'm just here to share with the group that we have the PEP grant came out yesterday. It is the Pandemic Emergency Technical Support Grant. It is specifically for small businesses, arts and culture, chambers, and it is not an onerous application. It has really been put together to target small businesses that have difficulty getting funds in previous reiterations of grant funding. The grant goes to November 2nd. It is on our website. We had over 6,000 people apply yesterday. It is a very easy grant to apply for. It's up to $10,000 for individuals, $20,000 for chambers and arts and cultures nonprofits. And I can make all the information available to you, and just here to pretty much share with you the information that this grant is really going to be beneficial to some of those small business owners in the rural community. It could be hairdressers, one-shop owners, it doesn't matter. As long as they apply, and we encourage everyone to apply, we think we're going to have a lot of people getting funding for this particular grant.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Hoya. If you'd give us that information, then we can go ahead and get a link onto our county website for that. So this is another good program to help out our small businesses. Thank you very much for attending today.
Okay. Do you want me to send that to your assistant there? I spoke to her on the phone. She was very helpful.
Yes, that'd be perfect. Thank you.
All right. I'll do that right after this call.
All righty. Thank you, Ms. Hoya. All right. Continue on with public comment. Additional public comment today. Hearing no additional public comment, we'll move on to item agendized number 6. This is discussion only. We'll take no extra public comment. We'll start with our committee and staff reports, And I'll start with the Sheriff's Office with Sheriff Antonoro.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Sheriff. All right, we'll go over to Public Works Operations. Mike Northan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing today.
Thank you, Mike. We'll move over to the Library and Community Chest with Eric Shung. Okay, maybe Eric isn't with us today. Our Senior Citizen Center, Stacy York.
Nothing new today, thank you.
Thank you, Stacy. Director of IT, James Dean.
Nothing to report today, Commissioner, thank you.
Thank you, James. Our Public Works Director, Jason Wurzbecki.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. I just have a couple quick things here. We've been busy doing new service connections throughout town, miscellaneous patching, and trying to mitigate a bunch of drainage issues that we have around town before the wet season comes in. And that's about all I have right now. Michael will fill you guys in here shortly on the water project. So that's all I have. You guys have any questions?
Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Jason?
No questions, Chairman. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jason?
No questions, thank you.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you, Jason. Let's move on to our HR Director, Jeannie Green.
Jeannie Green, Labor Relations Manager, and nothing to report. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Director of Communications, Dave Ballard.
Good morning, Dave Fowler. Just we update the construction in the new dispatch center down there at the former Bank of America is about complete now. It's probably about 95% complete. We've got a little bit of work to do that can be probably finished up in a day or so, and we'll be ready to start installing equipment in there pretty quickly. Public Works is an amazing job. You get a chance to come down and see it once we kind of get it organized. I think you'll be impressed. It went real fast and real good, and I'm real happy with the work on it. Also, the radio project moving forward, Sierra Electronics started to install radios yesterday, and I believe they've been working on the mountaintops, so things are getting changed out. It's moving pretty quick now. That's all I have for you.
All right. I took a walk through the new dispatch center last week. It's looking real good down there.
It's getting there. The floors are in. I had to drill a couple more holes the other day, which kind of, was unexpected, but it is what it is. But it's moving there, and it's looking good. I'm pretty excited about it.
All right. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Dave?
I don't. I'm just happy to hear that it's almost done. I was there right before Public Works got there last week, so I'm happy that's pretty much ready.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions?
No questions. Thank you, Marie.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. All right. Our Director of Tourism, Denny Dotson.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Denny Dotson here, Commissioners. As you guys are aware, we've kind of in the middle of our fall season here, where we were very very concerned about the lack of events. I think that so far the little bit of indicators that we do have, we'll get a lot of them in a month or two, but are showing that we are driving some traffic with some of our current marketing that seems to be helping. I don't know if weather has also been part of that, but some of the good news after that is, here over the last 6 months, we really haven't taken advantage of any PPP money or any, loans like that. The BCTC has just elected to take some funds out of our rainy day fund. That has changed. We have some opportunities for some grants through Travel Nevada that are substantial. And we're going to take advantage of those through a couple different co-op opportunities, one through local territory and one through the actual state. So you'll start seeing some additional marketing for Virginia City here regionally in our Thrive market, but also we're going to put our toe back into the Northern California market just a little bit. So just some good things. And again, it is a grant that we will have to replace. Along with that, we are going to be sitting tomorrow. We have a group from different entities, a board member. We have a commissioner, Carmona, We have our staff, people we work with, and we have some merchants that are going to be refreshing, if you will, knocking the dust off our strategic plan. We're going to take a look at you know, where we are, where we know that we have to go, and looking at, again, marketing is a little bit different now. We have to adhere to safety guidelines with COVID, and then obviously we want to make sure that we're being inclusive of everybody. And Virginia City has a long history of being a place where everybody is welcome. We want to continue that, but we're going to kind of dust it off a little bit, take a look at it, and then as we, round the first year, look at a event calendar and our budget for next year with those things in mind. So with that on, I don't have anything else.
All right. Thanks, Denny. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Denny?
Not today, Sherman. Thank you.
All righty. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Denny?
Thank you. Thank you, Denny. A positive report. I like that very much.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. The weather's held up and the advertising efforts are helping. I just, you notice it in Virginia City on just, not just on the weekends, but during the week as well. I think we have more people in town than normally for this time of year, but it's good for the merchants. They're not going to make up for being closed, for 2.5 months, but it's going to help. All right, over at Community Relations, Laura Mather.
Laura is at another meeting. This is Honey Tapley for the record.
Hi, Penny.
I'm just going to give a brief update for what's happening with the small business grants with the CARES Act. Currently, we have 16 applicants, and we have approved 15 of those. One, we are waiting on further documentation, and two are working with the Small Business Development Center with Kathy Hall-Cavardier, and they are going to submit this week. We have also opened up the application process for small businesses that have 10 to 15 employees. And that, we're going to be extending the deadline from October 29th through November 13th to give those businesses a chance to apply and see what we can do with that.
Very good. That's good news because I know that when we first started the program that we are at such a low limit that a lot of people didn't want to make the effort to fill out the paperwork. So this is good. It looks like we're headed in the right direction. So
thank you. Kathy has been an invaluable resource, really helping our businesses be able to get all of their documentation that is needed.
Terrific. Very good. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Penny?
Not today, Chairman. Thank you.
All righty. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Penny?
I'm good. Thank you, Marty.
Very good. Thank you, Penny. All righty. For our public works projects, all things that are water, Mike Nevin.
Good morning, commissioners. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, Mike.
Very good. Thank you. For the record, again, Mike Nevin, project coordinator for the hillside tanks and the Gold Hill Wastewater Treatment Plant. Happy to report that the Gold Hill Wastewater Treatment Plant project is out to bid. It went out on the streets on the 12th, which was last Monday. We will conduct a pre-bid conference with potential contractors tomorrow afternoon. We have a bid opening date set of November 4th. Which is the day following Election Day, and hopefully get on your third meeting of the month, second meeting, I'm sorry, of the month for the bid approval for that project. So things are coming together finally. That one, as you well know, was kind of been a thorn in our side, but we cleaned up a lot of issues that went unaddressed for so many years. So. Finally moving forward, and hopefully the weather holds up and we can get this one going and get it in the history books, finally. The Hillside Tank Project, again, going well, right on target with scheduling. The tank pad has been poured, the tank ring, that footing will sit the rest of this week for curing. They're placing the drain rock inside of the tank ring underneath the floor as we speak. And we should hopefully start seeing some steel go up for this first tank starting next week. So real happy about that. The water line has been tested. Hold pressure fine. We'll do a flush, and then our back T sampling will go into the lab for approval. So everything's looking real nice, and the weather has been real cooperative, as you all well know. That's all I have for you today. Do you have any questions?
All right. Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Mike?
No questions. I just want to say, I hope you didn't jinx us when I say we've had good weather so far, right?
No, I hope not, Commissioner.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike today?
Thank you for your report. No questions. Thank you.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Mike.
We'll
County Fire Marshal and Community Development Director, Martin Azevedo. Maybe Martin's not here today. Over at Director of Emergency Management, Joe Curtis.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you perfectly. Thank you.
Very good. Yes, acting good. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Joe Curtis for the record. Quick run through on our current COVID status in the county. We have this past week and past 2 weeks actually has seen a significant upward spike in the cases within the Quad County. Each day showing somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 or 20 plus new cases. But at the same time, there has been a recovery factor of almost the same, so it's almost been kind of a wash with some of the cases, the newer cases that are coming in within the Quad County, not Story County particularly. The long-term care facilities have been a problem in one of the other counties and partially responsible for these upper spikes and so forth. As of last evening, though, we had 17 new cases with the within the Carson, Lyon, Douglas, Story areas. They range in ages, so from about 18 to 70. And here again, that offset with those 17 new cases as of last evening, there were also 14 recoveries. So it's just a net factor of about three new cases, actually. So Carson City is sitting at 665 cases. Lyon County sitting at 554 cases. Douglas County with 381. And this last week, we got our 18, 19, and 20th cases. We have 15 recoveries. We currently have five active cases. Within the county at this point. But the total counties, all four counties, is 1,620 cases, with 87 of them currently active, and with 20 deaths within the four-county area. Of all the statewide cases, it appears that a little over 84% of them were primarily within Clark and Marshall County, primarily in Clark County. The other 15.9% were around the rest of the state. So the great growth rate of new cases and so forth has been, or is actually at about 0.7%. Back in July, the growth rate was 2.3% growth rate. So we're doing pretty well in the Fort County area and getting it down. And like I say, you see these spikes that come in, but then you also have to look at the corresponding recovery factor within the Fort County area as to how it's actually showing up. We have a testing site that will be happening on Friday in Lockwood at the Senior Center from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. We're trying to catch some of those later afternoon people. We had been doing a lot of them in the morning hours, so now we're kind of switching to kind of catch some of these later afternoon folks. There's another one on Monday, November 5th, That will be at the Mark Twain Community Center from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And then a third one on Wednesday, November 18th at the BC Senior Center here in town from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. In December, we'll have three test sites set up during the course of the year. Through the rest of October here, we're doing also flu shots as well as COVID tests. And we're still looking at the possibility of having to do COVID vaccination shots at some point starting in November. Late November or in sometime in December. Nothing specific or nothing hard on that yet, but that's kind of what we're looking at. So we've also sent out some Halloween guidelines that we got from the governor to a lot of people, mostly just reminders of all the safety issues that we've been following pretty much all along. Face masks over the mouth and nose, distancing, keeping smaller groups, avoiding crowds, washing hands, using sanitizer, avoid touching your face. If that doesn't work, it says we can just stay home, I guess. So that's an option. Limit your travel and your contacts. In the charts that I've been seeing, it looks like the most common place that can, if they can determine anything, that appears to be where people seem to be acquiring the virus is grocery stores or large retail type of outlets. So be sure to remember to follow all of these recommendations for your safety needs, and hopefully we should get through a lot of this stuff as we move forward. We're kind of expecting a spike as we get into the winter and the normal flu season and so forth. So we have made some preparations to make sure that we have plenty of PPE available for our first response personnel, fire department personnel, and other needs that we might need for dealing with it throughout the county. The air quality has been good. We haven't had any problem with the smoke most recently, and we're all in the good normal range for Northern Nevada for the most part, a little bit up into the northern part of the state, but we're in good position with the air quality, and that counts for us. With that, that would be the end of my report, unless someone has any questions.
Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Joe?
Not at this time, Chairman.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Joe?
No, thank you, Joe.
Great, yes. All right, thank you, Joe. County Assessor, Jana Seddon.
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Jana. All righty. Over at the Planning Department, Kathy Canfield.
I have nothing today. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. County Fire Chief, Jeff Nevin. Is Jeff on the board? No. All righty, your legal counsel, Chief Deputy District Attorney Keith Lomas.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. County Manager Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple items I'd like to let you know about. We're working with the LCC down in Lockwood on potentially preparing for this board to take action in the future on looking at adopting an easement for a portion of road that goes from Canyon Way up to the water tower and to the cell towers in Lockwood. That'll be for the benefit of that entire community to access utilities and take some of the cost off the LCC for maintaining that segment. The next thing that's going on is the Highlands Community Center / Fire District base. Mike Norvitz is still working on those and getting ready to go to bid on that. That project's slated to move forward without any undue delay this year. The next thing is, if you remember a couple of years ago, we had done a comprehensive master plan in Mark Twain for drainage and for flood detention and flood mitigation. and done that collaboratively with Lyon County and the Carson Water Subconservancy. The Lyon County has taken action and communicated with me on moving forward and actually building the programs, building the detention basins, and doing capital improvements in their side of the Marquette area. And by the next meeting, I'll be bringing to this board a request for the same, and then we can start working with Subconservancy and other sources for grant funding and other means by which to build flood mitigation in addition to the work that Jason and his team has already been working on with the Culvert Project. We have a group of folks, the comptroller, myself, Mike Northern, some folks from Public Works, and others, that we are assessing internally the Lockwood Community Center building and looking at all the options that may be available for either replacing the building, upgrading the building, moving the building, or whatever it might be. We're just about the point where we're going to start reaching out to the folks in Lockwood that use the facilities and see what they prefer, and also work with the GID and the LCC and the Rainbow Bend Homeowners Association, as well as this board and others, on developing a plan for that, and then funding that through a capital improvement program of the comptroller's office to get that done in the next budget season. And that's all I have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All righty. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Austin?
No questions. Just wanted to thank him for the update, and glad to hear the Highlands Project and Mark Twain stuff is moving along nicely. Thank you.
Welcome. Okay. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin?
No questions, but it's so exciting to know that the improvements are heading for Lockwood. We've been looking for those for years, and all of a sudden, what nice of a plan comes together. Austin, thanks for all that extra work down there.
Very good. Thank you, Austin. Next up is Street County Clerk, Vanessa Stevens.
Good morning, Vanessa Stevens for the record. I just wanted to provide a quick update on early voting. We are on day 3 with 24% turnout in the county. That includes the mail ballots that have been returned. Early voting will be all week, 8 to 6 in the Slammer, this Saturday, 10 to 2, and then we'll be back in the Slammer again next week from 8 to 6, Monday through Friday. We will also be in Lockwood tomorrow at the fire station from 1 to 4 collecting mail-in ballots. So if anybody wants to drop off their ballot in person, we'll have a team member from my office there during that time to collect those. Once again, if you have any questions about the process or what's going on, please give us a call. And that's it.
Great. Thank you, Vanessa. All right. So have I missed any elected officials, department heads, or staff that have anything to report on today? All right, that'll go ahead and conclude the committee and staff reports. We'll move on to item number 7, which are board comments. We'll take no action to public comment on these. And I'll start with Commissioner Gilman. Do you have any comments today, sir?
I have nothing today. Thank you, Marshall.
Thank you, Lance. I'll move right along to Vice Chairman Carmona.
Nothing today for me either. Thank you.
All right, very good. And I, too, have nothing today. So we will move on to item number 8. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of resolution number 20-592 of the Board of County Commissioners of Story County, Nevada, requesting that the Nevada Delegation to Advance Federal Public Lands Legislation, commonly referred to as the Truckee Meadows Public Lands Management Act, to support conservation, recreation, and economic development in Washoe County. We have representatives from the City of Sparks today. We have Mayor Ed Lawson and City Manager Neil Kretz. And Austin, do you want to take this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to elaborate on here where needed. I would first introduce our guests and see if they would like to discuss this first.
All right, very good. Mayor Lawson.
Well,
good morning.
First, I want to say it's great to be with you guys today. And the meetings run as smoothly as ours do, very quick and well organized. I like that. For us, this is kind of a very important thing. As you know, you're going to have roughly 50,000 employees out there in Story County in a very short order. and 80% of them live in the Reno Sparks area, and 80% of that group lives north of I-80, where most of the affordable housing is here. So our plan is to grow the city of Sparks to the east and put in a road from La Posada to USA Parkway, which in essence cuts off the commute for almost everybody, almost exactly in half. So it's taking a lot of pressure off of I-80, and it's also, we want to move our industrial area on the top, so we're closer to Story County. So the widget makers for the big companies you have out there, you know, can come live with us here in Washington County and maybe pay some Washington County tax in that interim. So I think it works out as a win-win-win for everybody. And we really appreciate your support. And we're going to hit this hard again after the first of the year and try and get a lens bill through in this department.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Does your city manager, does Mr. Kretz, does he want to speak on this also?
Thank you.
There he is.
For the record, Neil Kretz, Sparks City Manager. My boss, Michael Lawson, covered all the topics by him, so I'll shut up and turn the camera.
Okay. Very good. Austin, do you want to weigh in, or do you want me to go to public comment?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. You know, I think Mayor Lawson has pretty much said it. we always an honor to work with the folks over at the City of Sparks. They're a great city and a great operation. And what they plan for the East I-80 corridor is sort of complementary to what we do. We never find ourselves in competition with them. The plans that they have for their side of Tahoe Reno Industrial Center over in the Sparks side complements the Northern Nevada region for employment and for other uses. And what's good for us is good for them and vice versa. The landfill here, we support this as well as staff and recommend its approval, really for the purpose of what Mr. Lawson had explained. This La Posada route is really the principal practical way that the traffic on Interstate 80 can be addressed. Interstate 80, in order to widen that, there's a NEPA process that will involve 3 to 10 years. There is funding that is beyond what the federal government or anybody local would be able to sustain. And one day it may happen, but it doesn't necessarily address the immediate need, and it may not even address the long-term needs. La Posada route connecting the USA Parkway or Patrick or some alignment near that really does, as Mayor Lawson said, it gets 80% of those people to the homes where they live. And also it helps their area grow commercially and industrially as well to help the city of Sparks with their revenues. So we strongly support this. We find ourselves working great with the city of Sparks. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, City Manager, for being with us today.
Okay. Great, Austin. Thank you. Well, this time we'll go ahead and I'll open up for public comment. Would anyone like to comment on this resolution?
Mr. Chairman, Chris Thompson requesting to be recognized.
Go right ahead, Chris. Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Mayor, it's good seeing you here. We're honored to have you here in the Story County meeting, Mayor Lawson. And I just want to add, on behalf of Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, our full 120% support to the plan put forward by Mayor Lawson and the city manager and their staff. There have been no better neighbors, no better partners for Story County and for Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, in our view, than the Sparks and their city administration. It's a natural, what they're proposing, a natural a build-out between Patrick and USA Parkway and Sparks, and this would be great for the citizens in Story County and Lockwood to really take the heat off of that choke point on Interstate 80, reduce the chance of accidents, reduce the stop and go traffic at some time if there is an accident. And from our point of view, we believe the county should support this 110%. And again, we'd like to thank Mayor Lawson and the city manager for being here in person. Thanks very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. All right, we'll continue on with public comment. Who else would like to speak? Okay, I don't see any hands going up. So with that said, it's hard to elaborate on anything other than what Mr. Thompson's already brought forward and Mr. Osborne. Story County's always had a good working relationship with the city of Sparks, and everything that I've seen, we know the land bills sometimes take a while to get through Congress and that, but this is a really, really good proposal to go ahead and to have a new road that would come in there to alleviate the traffic on I-80. And plus, it benefits those city of Reno, Sparks, and Washoe County residents of having to go all the way around to get out to the industrial park. Plus, it's going to open up the economic development for the city of Sparks out in that neighborhood, which is good for everybody. It's all about economic development. It's all about creating jobs for the people that live here. And so it's a win-win for everybody. So we don't see it as competition to Story County. We think it just complements Story County and vice versa. So with that said, I'll go to my additional commissioners here. Commissioner Carmona, do you wish to speak on the subject?
I really don't want to sound like a broken record, but this bypass or the La Posada road is definitely going to take some heat off the folks in Lockwood, and I look forward to that getting built. I know it's not going to happen tomorrow, but it's definitely I think a much needed construction project. So thank you.
All right, thank you, Jay. Commissioner Gilman.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it very much. A couple of thoughts, if I may, along the way. First, I've enjoyed working with Mayor Lawson for many, many, many years now. He's a fine, upstanding gentleman. He represents Spark with all his heart and care, and he's a strong leader there, visionary, and I believe we'll all benefit with the energy and the foresight and the commitment that we'll have from Mayor Lawson. Kind of kicking back a little bit on the roads, there have been more than one infrastructure play presented here for the last years. And I can tell you that quite a number of folks, maybe from out of the valley, have been pushing for a southern connector that would go up through Sunny Hills and join perhaps TRI in another direction. And none of us have supported that. We do not believe that it's in the best interest or even financially as feasible as this La Posada connector. So I can tell you as a group, both from the commissioners and from the planning groups that have been working with Mayor Lawson, we all are 100% in support of this alternative. It is a win-win for everybody in the community. So when you think in terms of Tesla having about 70 to 75% of their employees coming out of north of I-80, and the probabilities that will increase. I think we're looking at a phenomenal result here. And I also believe, given the energy of the counties and the lands bill, and Mark Amadei have been so gracious in supporting us, Cortez Mastos just signed on with some additional language, And those bills are being watched with the Porter Group and ex-Congress Porter. A lot of wonderful folks working on this stuff. So I'm going to tell you that I'm very, very optimistic that we'll see the success. And the other thing I want to report with a smile is I'm sorry I'm not out of my garage with those beautiful Harleys sitting behind me, because Mayor Lawson and I have been riding those Harleys for a long time in memory, and they're a very, very favorite part of my life, and I love that background, partner. I'm sorry I didn't think of it. Nice to see you this morning.
All right. Thank you, Lynn.
I was thinking of you when I put that
in. I'll bet you were. Well, welcome. We've enjoyed your company this morning.
All right. I'm going to go around the room one more time for public comment. So, anyone else for public comment? All right, hearing none, I'd go to Commissioner Carmona and ask you to go ahead and entertain a motion to approve this resolution.
Sure. I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve resolution number 20-592 of the Board of Commissioners of Story County, Nevada, requesting the Nevada delegation to advance federal public lands legislation commonly referred to as the Truckee Meadows Public Lands Management Act, to support conservation, recreation, and economic development in Washoe County.
Very good.
Second,
I have a motion and I have a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for attending today. City Manager Krautz, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Looking forward to working with you guys. Thank you.
You bet. Okay. Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye.
All righty. We'll move right along now to item number 9. This is discussion for possible action. Acceptance of quick claim deed number NV-2020-002 from the United States of America to certain federal lands pursuant to the Story County Lands Act. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is the day we've been waiting for, quite some time. We've been working on the Story County landfill for about 20 years or so. And in 2015, we know that the Congress and the President authorized under the National Defense Authorization Act our properties in Virginia City, Gold Hill, and the surrounding area to remove clouded title between us and the BLM, or the federal government. So what we have in front of us today are the quick claim deeds from the federal government, quick claiming their ownership of all of this land, essentially saying they don't anymore believe that they own it. They release quick claim to us, and then we would hold those until this action occurs. We would then take those quick claim deeds and we would record them upstairs with the county recorder's office, and then immediately mail out to all property owners in Virginia City and Gold Hill their quick claim deeds that they can then have as a part of their record of ownership of their properties. So at no time, it should be clarified, at no time does Story County ever own someone's property. That question had come up, and it doesn't work that way. Essentially, the federal government releases its claim to ownership, and then they send that to us. We then release our claim to ownership, and then it goes to the respective property owners. The property owners at no time lose their actual ownership. What this will do is remove the federal government clouded title. So when you want to get title insurance, you want to get a home loan, those sorts of things, it's quite possible the title companies will look at this action and find that there's no longer clouded title on that with a BLM. This does not resolve any clouded title that might exist with other private properties. That does happen. It does not affect mineral rights. It only affects surface rights. And it only affects, of course, Bureau of Land Management in this area. So at that point, that will be the process. I do want to mention also that this does not affect certain right-of-ways like the railroad and certain mining claims that exist. And fund patents that existed under old prior BLM property. What that means is the county will not become in the business of issuing mining permits or unpatents or dealing with all sorts of matters. That will still remain under the authority and the jurisdiction of the federal government. I will mention that's not quite part of this. There is one parcel in Mark Twain that we have been working with to try to get a clouded title issue resolved down there. That is not included in this act. We are working with Amade's office and Cortez Masto's office, who have been unbelievably accessible and hardworking in trying to address the Mark Twain parcel. We have identified what the issue is in Mark Twain, affecting about 5 or 6 properties, and we believe that we'll be able to roll that into another lands bill to get clarification and get that addressed shortly. Any questions you have, I'm happy to clarify.
I don't have any. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Austin?
I do not have any questions regarding this.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions?
No questions other than to comment that this is an incredibly complicated process. And we all, as a county and our staff and everyone doing business basically in our county, have been working overtime to make this happen. It's very, very important, I think, all of our lives as we move forward. And fortunately, as our county manager, Austin Osborne, shared, our folks in Washington are really focused on getting this done. And so we're cautiously optimistic there may be some breakthroughs in the near term. And I want to say cautiously optimistic because this is such a complicated scenario, but a thank you to everyone that put so much time and energy and thought, and we must remember those back there on both sides of the aisle, the Democrats and the Republicans. Everybody's working pretty hard back there to get this landfill together in a wonderful way. So, Austin, thank you for the report. I, for one, am 100% in support of this.
Thank you, Lance. I'll open it up for public comment now. Mr. Mitchell, I see you have your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Chair McBride. Clay Mitchell, Richmond City. I just want to say a big thank you for the work that's being done on this. I have a feeling that it will smooth things out for some of us with real estate transactions and may even have a positive effect on property values. So again, just a big thanks for the hard work. I know it's a long time coming.
Very good. Thanks, Clay. Any additional public comment? Okay, I don't see anything there. Before calling for a motion, I'll put my two cents in on this too, is that if my memory serves me correctly, this has been a long time in the process, and it actually, I believe, originated when Dean Heller, before he was a senator, was in Congress. And I think he initiated this when he was a congressman, and then, of course, he moved on to the Senate and then laid it in Congressman Amaday's lap, and then so... Congressman Amaday has taken us across the finish line with multiple attempts. We finally come to fruition on this, so it's a good day in Story County. So with that said, I'll go to Vice Chairman Carmona and ask you to entertain a motion to accept this quick claim deed.
All right, Chairman. I.J. Carmona move for the acceptance of quitclaim deed number NV-2020-002 from the United States of America to certain federal lands pursuant to the Story County Lands Act, described in the agenda title, staff summary, and enclosed exhibits.
All right. Thank you. I have a motion. Did I get a second from you, Lance?
Yes, sir, you did.
Thank you. I didn't mean to talk over you. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Mr. Osborne, is Mr. Kazmierski in the room yet, do you know?
I'm taking a look, Mr. Chairman, and I don't see him yet. I would wait for him, and if he's not here, I have a request just to move up the agenda.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Why don't we skip over him, and then we'll come back to him in whatever order that he shows up. How's that?
I think that would work.
Okay.
If we need to take something official or want to keep, whether we need to move this to after item number 12, we could do that as well. But if Keith is fine the way you suggested it, then of course that would be fine.
I'm fine with the way you suggested it, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. All right, so let's skip over 10. We'll go to number 11. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of service components and pricing for various AT&T services supporting the Story County dispatch system. Excuse me. So, Mr. Ballard, do you want to handle this?
Sure, I can take it. Again, Dave Ballard, Story County Communications. What you're looking at here is a price for a 911 next generation 911 upgrade. Basically, what we do with AT&T, we pay for a yearly service. Buying a phone system from AT&T is similar. Basically, think of buying a cell phone. You go into a store to buy a cell phone. They'll usually give you the cell phone if you buy the service, and that's what you're looking at right here. It's approximately, I don't have the exact number in front of me, I want to say about $60,000 a year for service. And what that is, it provides us with 24-hour technical support. It gives us a service contract of like 5 years, I believe is how long the contract is for. And it provides us all with all new equipment. What makes this one different than the previous one was last time we did our upgrade, I believe it was in 2014, we bought it up front. We paid for 5 years of service. We don't have to do that anymore. We can break it back down by the year. So that's where I'm coming up with this number of $60,000+, I believe it is, to cover that for the year. And the other nice part about this is this equipment is all brand new. It will be installed in the new 911 center, minus the guts of it, if you will. All the main equipment is going to be stored at AT&T. They're going to house it for us. And the benefit of that is if something happens to it, if something breaks down in the middle of the night, they have a tech that's on scene right there on the spot, and it'll instantly it'll split over to another agency. It'll just, instead of something breaks on it, it'll automatically cut over to Carson or Reno or Lyon or whatever. Kind of gives us a little bit more redundancy on it. This system also gives us a little bit more flexibility. It's going to include a laptop that they're throwing in there with us, that all we need is a VPN. So if something was to happen to the state of the 911 center, we can pick up this phone and take it to the courthouse, the fire station, the library, wherever, plug it into the internet, do the up and running that quick. So basically, this is just the new upgraded service of the stuff that we've already paid for, just with the new, you know, the new features and updates. It's some neat stuff also with new cellular stuff coming in there. It's picking up all that stuff as well. The the text of 911 and all the other stuff that all our neighbors are going to, it ties us into that as well.
So just for some clarity, are we asking for a $60,000 expenditure? I say that because I don't find that in the staff report.
Well, what it is, it's just a contract. It's not necessarily that. I already budgeted for that.
Okay.
In the budget, this is just the contract to renew it to continue the service.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, I think it was in 2014, we cut them a check for like $300,000+.
Right.
And that was just breaking it up in smaller pieces and, you know, paying by the year.
Okay. All right. You've answered my question. Thank you. All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Dave?
I don't have questions other than I really believe this addresses the fact that we have all been working very hard here in our county to upgrade services across the board, first responders, and of course, our emergency 911 staff. If I'm not mistaken, we take care of the north part of the county, I-80, and of course, the county itself. So, David, I think this really enhances the intelligence. Everything else we've been doing on a higher quality level, if you will. So, I'm assuming that's the case here.
Oh, absolutely. This is amazing. This is a game changer for all of us. One of the features that this will do for us is if someone's out on the interstate or anywhere like that, and they call 911, how it'll work now is we'll get that phone call. We'll get their phone number. We'll get the tower that they're calling from, and we'll get the GPS coordinates within meters of that tower. So sometimes it's a little bit of a guessing game where they might be. Now with this one, there's another software program that's called Rapid Deployment. And what that does is we'll still get that information from the cell towers, but then it'll go back to that cell phone, and it'll ping that and give us the GPS coordinates right there on the spot. So we'll pop it up on like Google Maps or whatever it might be. And then from there, if there's actually any video cameras in that location, we'll pop those open for us. So we can actually see what's kind of going on too. If they're reporting a fire on the interstate or an accident, if there's a NDOT traffic camera there, we're going to be able to see it. The other thing it allows us to do is it allows the people out there, the public or whoever who might need help, to actually text 911. And what this feature is kind of nice is if, hopefully we never have to see it, but in a situation like, say, of an active shooter or something like that, if they're hiding under a desk, they can actually text 911, and the dispatcher can take control of their camera phone. So they can actually take access to it, and they can pop it open to see what they're looking at and, be able to get suspect information or whatever. Of course, they have to give us permission to do that, but that's a feature that we can do with this whole system. So as far as, public safety and whatnot, this is, like I said, this is a game changer. This is something that I would have never expected to see.
Well, I know the whole county is under direct benefit, and that's phenomenal. But I do hope that the folks down to Lockwood, Painted Rock, and all along our northern corridor there understand that this is a dramatic upgrade in their health, safety, and welfare in their communities. Thank you so very much for working on this and putting it together. It's awesome for Story County.
Thank you.
Very good. All righty. Thanks, Lance. Commissioner Carmona, did you have any questions?
No questions. I've always said we have three main priorities as a county. Emergency response, that includes fire, police, and then public works. So I'm glad to see that we're, beefing up our 911 system. It is 2020. I'm glad to see the technologies out there, and, I embrace it. So glad to see it's available.
Very good. Thanks, Jay. All right, open for public comment. I see Nicole Bart has her hand up. You want to go first, Nicole?
I think this is great. Dave, is there going to be any kind of, or did you already mention, but is there going to be any kind of training or enhanced informing of our residents on how to use all of the great capabilities, that you mentioned, to the extent that this is a safety thing? You could put something out on Facebook that says, hey, we've got this new thing, but unless you explain it to me personally, I don't know how to use it. I don't know what benefit it is. Put out to not just inform, Tiffany, but to train our residents on how to use it correctly.
Nicole, I think what we'll end up doing, we'll be putting some stuff out on our, our social media, our Facebook page. We'll probably make some sort of stuff on there. But I think the majority of the stuff that you're going to see isn't really going to, change too much for you. I think it's just going to be, you can open up your phone and type 911. And I don't know that I haven't seen that part of it yet. And it's going to be something pretty simple as that. And then you can type in your message. All the other stuff, the features I was talking about, the cameras and stuff like that, those are things that, we'll be able to run. And again, if you're in that situation, what will happen is you're texting a dispatcher, it's going to come up on your text screen. That text screen is going to pop up on our phone screen into our CAD, and they'll be able to, record the messages that way. And what will happen is they'll basically send you a thing, can we see what you're looking at? Can we take over your camera or whatever you might see? And you have to give them the yes or no. If you hit yes, then it'll open up for you. So as far as, the general public use of it, I don't think there's going to be a lot difference to what they're doing with it now. I think it'll be pretty simple for them.
Okay, so the fact that I'm on Verizon, this is an AT&T system, is going to be seamless?
Yeah, because when I say it's an AT&T system, AT&T is the phone provider for the state of Nevada. They're Nevada's official phone company. When they purchased Nevada Bell, they took that over. So they have to provide that service. Whether you get service from Verizon, Sprint, whatever, I'm a Verizon user myself. But if I call 911, 911 is 911. It's no different than if you're driving a Buick, a Ford, or a Toyota. If you're on the highway, you're on the highway. That's how it works. It doesn't really matter. You're not going to see a difference.
All right. Thank you.
All righty. Is there additional public comment?
Lance Gilman here. I think Nicole's question is, it should be well thought out. We're holding our quarterly meetings. Austin has been kind enough to program those, and we're going to be seeing them once a quarter. It seemed to me that we could do two things here. One, in our next meetings, Austin, as we go to the various communities, let's include this as an agenda item. And maybe then it could be carried perhaps on, do their GID news work or their local news blast down there. But whether it be Lockwood or Mark Twain, I agree we should maybe refresh everybody's memory. It seems simple to those of us that are close to it, but I guess that out there in the communities it would be wise. Let's do an update. I like that idea, Austin.
All right. Let's go on to additional public comment. We have Corey Dalton.
Corey Dalton, for the record. I came from the city of Reno. I'm a department. I was their IT security analyst for almost 20 years, and I just retired last year. And E911 is virtually transparent to the user. And getting the word out is good, but when they roll these out, like it's been in Reno for years, and yeah, roll it out and then have meetings with 250,000 people. That's why the intrinsic design of it is so that the person using the phone calling 911 doesn't have to do or know anything about it. All the information is received on the dispatch side, and all it's millions of people already take advantage of C911 and they can't expect to tell them how it works or how to use it. So on the dispatch side, when they do request things like that, it is super simple for anybody of any age with any technology level to simply click yes when their phone prompts them for control of the camera or to approve GPS tracking. It's literally just a button that pops up on the phone. I just wanted to point out my experience with dealing with 911 with Washoe County with City of Reno when we implemented E911 years ago.
Very good. Thank you, Corey. Additional public comment?
So Lance Gilman here, if I may. Corey, I appreciate your comments a lot and all the effort that you've done there in the Reno community. If I heard right, you've joined the Story County community now, and I would say welcome aboard. However, I would let you know that there's only about 4,000 residents in Story County and in about five different communities. So having our quarterly town halls is going to be a much simpler process and I think a valuable service to everybody that lives out there. So we're not talking to that many people. And probably that's kind of what attracted you to this wonderful little community we all have here. But thanks for the report.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Marshall, just a quick question again. This is Nicole.
Go ahead, Nicole.
Is the coverage any better, Dave? Because out here in the Highlands, if I decide to take my ATV and go to Petroglyphs and something happens, is coverage any better for me or anybody with a cell phone?
You know, this has nothing to do with what the cell phone providers do. It takes a tower for them to, provide better coverage. I know they're adding more. They're probably going to be adding more as we're going. One of the things that this is going to benefit us more is a lot of times you can't get a bar to talk, but you can send a text, and that's where we're going to have a little bit more opportunity to do things for you. If we can get that signal to hit a tower and we get that call from you, we're going to get a location. We're going to be able to find you probably a lot easier. We might have a little bit of working, but it gives us more of an opportunity to find you with that text message than with the phone call. You see that all the time. Sometimes you'll be able to send a text and you can't send or receive a phone call. So that's where it kind of gives us a leg up on this. And also, just to clarify, when I was talking about all these features, this is just an additional feature. If you need to call 911, obviously you can still call 911, but this is just another option. It seems like people are moving away from phones and are moving towards the texting anyway. So that's what this is. So as far as the end user out there, you're not going to see a difference. Corey's actually correct. I'm glad you said that. Thank you, Corey.
Thanks, Dave.
All right. Open up again around the room. Additional public comment? Hearing none, if I go to Commissioner Carmona and ask you to entertain a motion to approve this.
Yes, Chairman. In accordance with recommendation by staff, I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the enclosed service components and pricing for various AT&T services supporting the Story County Dispatch 911 system.
Right. I'll second that motion.
I have a motion and I have a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, I see that the president and CEO of Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, also known as EDON, Mike Kaczmierski, is in the room. Good morning, Mr. Kaczmierski. All of you know him. He's been running that agency for many years. He's been a friend of Story County's, helping us go ahead and entertain clients that would move into the industrial park here. You'll notice that he frequently has an op-ed in the Reno Gazette Journal, letting everybody know what's going on in this part of the state. So, Mr. Kaczmierski, good morning. Welcome to Story County.
Morning, Chair. Morning, County Commissioners and staff. I will pull up my slides now if I can share.
Okay. We've got you on our screen, so it looks like it's working, Mike.
Okay. There we go. So let me go, I'll go through this quickly and then really answer any questions you might have. First off, a special thanks to Austin and the staff. We continue to have an amazing working relationship. We appreciate
how business friendly Story County is and continues to be. And we wish our closer neighbors were as supportive. But that said, we have a lot of things going on in the region. Certainly, what's going on in Story County continues to be incredibly important to our long-term economic development goals. So let me go through first, just as a reminder, we are a community board with members from government, business, education, and our many partners. Our area of responsibility is really the metro area and the I-80 corridor, which obviously includes what's happening at the industrial park. The strategic plan we've been working off of for several years really focuses on attracting great companies, keeping the ones that are here and helping them grow, and then organic growth through startup activity. This is a pretty good representation of what's happening in the region. You can see before we really started to diversify up until about 2015, we were lockstep with Vegas as far as unemployment rates, and as we started bringing more manufacturing, advanced manufacturing technology, a higher logistics, distribution, e-commerce, you can see our unemployment rate dropped while the Vegas rate continued at a higher level. And then the pandemic hit, and this is really where diversification, this is diversification report card, because before that, both unemployment rates were fairly low, but you can see when you have a gaming and tourism, visitor industry, economy driven primarily, what happens is you get a huge spike. Ours was much less, and we're down now to 7%. We're actually below in this region the national average on unemployment rate, while Vegas is still up in the 15-16% range. This directly impacts on revenue for our local governments. In fact, Story County, I think just for the first time since the pandemic hit, is actually below year over year last month. This is for Washoe County. You can see where the pandemic hit, you had to drop, and then we recovered here much quicker. Vegas is still in the negatives year over year. The diversification allows for manufacturers to go to work where the gaming, tourism industry may not be going back to work. So it really does affect the local government budgets in large part. Speaking of technology, you see the trend of the companies we've worked with over the last several years continues to be up. Technology is an important part of diversification and average wages. And many of those technology companies are in Story County, the blue here, just the Google Switch blockchains, with more certainly in the pipeline. Our attraction priorities for the year continue to be higher paying jobs, advanced manufacturing. We're really working the Bay Area aggressively. A lot of people there are very unhappy, as you can imagine. Corporate headquarters are important because you get decision makers in the region. You can see our prospect activity has dropped significantly this year, down in the fours. That said, we have seen an increase in activity. A lot of people are calling. Corporate travel across the country has been limited or eliminated. In many companies, they cannot travel, but they're talking to us. And we're getting a lot of drive traffic from the Bay Area. Even though our average has been 4.2, this last week alone, we've had 6 visits and 1 prospect that will be going to TRI. Pending announcements, again, manufacturing is an area of growth for us. We see that as great for the region. It's kind of the middle kind of job where you can upskill someone to do a manufacturing job, whereas you may not be able to upskill them to do technology, yet much of the manufacturing is technology-based. And then hot prospects, where you're still working with nearly 150 companies, continues to be a strong pipeline. In fact, we're actually seeing more activity now than we were pre-pandemic. Again, much of it right now is Northern California. As the travel restrictions for some of the large corporations get lifted, we expect to see a surge of outside of California visits as well. Story County projects, certainly the projects are not quite as aggressive, and we don't see as much after Blockchain pretty much purchased most of the land in the industrial park, and they're still going through their process. That said, there are two buildings we're showing on a regular basis there, and there is still some little pockets of land that we have been able to take prospects to. So we see that as what's happening. As Blockchain starts to loosen up and do their projects, we would expect to see a huge surge in activity in the industrial park. This is probably something most people don't realize. When you look at average wages, this is the Brian Bonifant chart. It shows Story County wage trends. And you can see where we were in 2015 and where we are now. And that trend is driven in large part by advanced manufacturing and what's happening in the business park. Certainly good news for everybody. So that's the attraction side. Again, it's going well. We see a lot of activity. We do see things happening in the park, but at a lesser level than before the purchase of land. But we do see a lot more average wage jobs continue to come here at a higher level. So good news across the board. But once we get companies here, we have to keep them here. And that's what Nancy McCormick does. She's out in the business park on a regular basis, working with companies, helping them resolve issues, addressing traffic concerns. She has gotten a great deal of feedback from companies on workforce challenges. She connects them to the Workforce Consortium. She has actually helped find individual high-skilled employees for many of the companies. Overall, we understand that keeping the companies that are there and help them succeed is one of our high priorities. We have a workforce program that really focuses on education pipeline. Again, the manufacturing companies will stop coming here if we cannot help them from an employee perspective. So we've got to work with education institutions on the pipeline. There's an NT1 program on training and upskilling people so that they can meet the needs of the manufacturers. We'll continue to attract talent to the region and then upskill workers that may, especially now with the pandemic, may never go back to their job. We're developing programs so that we can upskill them and put them in jobs that are coming to the region. Again, talent needs are important in STEAM. Occupations are a big part of that. Here are the top high demand occupations. I mentioned the upskilling initiatives. IBM Skills Academy is a part of that, and certainly software programming and other things that are important for companies like Tesla as they continue to fill positions. Robotics is really something we're trying to get at the lower levels of our education institutions. It helps our future employees develop skills they'll need to fill these jobs we're bringing to the region. And then finally, on the entrepreneurial side, not as much entrepreneurial activity in the industrial park. Certainly you have it in the region, the area, and the county overall. But this really is to help new companies develop here as they grow, especially if they're growing fairly large and they'll need to occupy bigger parcels of land that could migrate out to the industrial park or other places. So the entrepreneurial ecosystem is about the jobs of the future, developing skills, and helping grow companies here that may start off small but be part of our economy in the years ahead. We do attract small tech companies. That's a very targeted program. It's been very successful, even more so now with the pandemic and the environment in the Bay Area. And we set up a seed fund, which will help small startups get going. They can develop their proof of concept and move up the level of investor, where they're validated for investor funding at a higher level. These companies are really the companies of the future, and we're trying to help them out early on. So the programs we support and connection of the entrepreneurs, and we have some priorities we work with from a community perspective. These should be no surprise to anyone. There are problems that have been here in the region for many years. Housing is an issue. Clearly it is affecting some of the companies that are looking at the region now. On the technology side, they're not as worried, but logistics, distribution, e-commerce, manufacturing are concerned about where their employees will be able to live. The shortage drives prices up for a lot of things. Obviously, record housing prices here and record rents are an impact of that. But increased homelessness, increased sprawl and traffic, all of those issues are associated with not having enough housing. This is a great chart Brian Bonifant put together for Washoe County, where the bulk of the housing is. You can see where we had a lot of single-family housing before the recession, very little multifamily. You can see how it's changed as we come out of the recession. We're pretty much mostly multifamily because housing prices have gotten so high and it's fairly expensive to build. It's hard to believe we're building half the number of houses now that we were pre-recession in our region, and yet we're a third larger as far as population. And then an alternate route to the industrial center, we're concerned about the traffic on the I-80 corridor. It's really becoming an issue. It'll become more of an issue as Fernley grows, as blockchains continues their developments, as other companies grow in that area. So we're looking at a northern route. If you do the survey data, most of the employees that work at the industrial park actually live north of the I-80 corridor. So if we could help connect another route to the industrial park, that would alleviate a lot of traffic on the corridor. We're working out with the Landsville and some of the other initiatives. By the way, thank you for your support of the Landsville. I saw a recent letter of support by Story County. That will help us open some land up and give us access to some, you know, hopefully free up some of the congestion we have in the corridor. And just some other initiatives we've been involved in. You see the Landsville at the bottom, but school infrastructure, obviously education is important for these jobs as we come in. Many other things we work on in the region in support of community needs. Again, thank you for your involvement and support. You're an important partner, as I mentioned, probably our most business-friendly partner from a government perspective. We thank you for that, and I would open it up for any questions you might have.
Great. Thank you for that, Mike. Actually, we also had Mayor Lawson and City Manager Kritz in attendance earlier before you got with us, and we went ahead and approved a resolution supporting their lands bill going forward, because we've always worked well with the city of Sparks, and they're going to be a good partner going forward in this too for economic development in that part of our county and of their city. So throughout the course of time, with the ebbs and flows that we've had with recessions, we've never had to experience a pandemic in our lifetime before, but we're kind of in a slow state right now, but we anticipate it to grow again as things get better, as this virus passes, and we see more and more people want to relocate. I've just watched the news and see moving vans on every city street in San Francisco, people wanting to get out of the city. And I saw that studio apartment rents have dropped 30% in the city in 1 year, which is an amazing number. So when people are fleeing, they want to go somewhere else. Lake Tahoe is packed right now. Housing up there, they're paying more money for houses than people are asking just to get out of the city. So it's incredible what's happening in our area, and it's too bad that the houses are as expensive as they are now. But there's nothing in sight to say that there's any going to be any type of correction to bring those prices down either. So we're just going to have to get better paying jobs so people can make more money and afford the houses of where we're sitting, I think. So why don't I go on over to Commissioner Carmona. Do you have any questions or comments on Mr. Kaczmierski's presentation today?
No real questions. It is always educational. I had this discussion with a few residents regarding where the majority of populace is that works at TRI. So it's good to have Mike basically reaffirm what I and others thought. So thank you for the presentation, and as usual, always informative.
There you go. Great. Commissioner Gelman, do you have any comments or questions for Mike today?
No questions, thank you.
All right, great. You know, as we go forward, I hope we can get past this pandemic, because we miss all of the activities that EDON puts on for going ahead and having awards for business retention and expanding businesses and all the things that we like to do in these great ballrooms of the casinos in Reno, to go ahead and give a shout out to the people who are bringing business to our area. So I hope we can get back to that, Mike. Mr. Osborne, do you have any comments to make today?
Not a lot, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank Mike and his team for everything they do for our county and the region. And one thing that he and his team have really done is focusing a lot on workforce development, and what he had talked about in his presentation is increasing the certification and marketability of people that are already at work, and really those folks that are working out at the distribution centers to be able to get a higher level of education and training so they can stay in the area and grow into their wages where they can't afford to live here comfortably is a huge help. And you know, and especially Nancy McCormick, she is out there all the time at the park, and please let her know how much we appreciate that.
We do. Okay, Mr. Kaczmierski, any closing comments for you, sir?
Commissioner, Chair, we're missing your smiley face in a lot of our events. As you mentioned, going virtual is not as much fun as before, but we hope this pandemic will end soon, and we'll all get a chance to share a beverage or two. So again, thank you for your support. It's been a pleasure working with you and your team, the entire commission, and I can tell you that if you could pass out some of your positive support business friendly practices to some of the other counties, we would appreciate it.
We try every time we meet with them, you bet, whether they're city councilmen or county commissioners in our neighboring counties. Yes, you bet. Mike, thank you for attending today's meeting. We appreciate you being here and giving us your presentation. You do a fine job as always, and we appreciate your hard work and your team too. Stan and Kat and Nancy and the whole team down there. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. So why don't we go ahead and we'll move on to item number 13. This is discussion only. We'll take no action. This is the first quarter of the 2021 budget versus the actual overview for Story County. Our comptroller is out today, so Mr. Osborne is going to go ahead and take this.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be happy to go through these. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to follow up with those, and there may be a thing or two that we can catch up in a future meeting with Jennifer. So trying to go through a little bit. Jennifer has written a staff report in here that's quite comprehensive, well done. And working with her on all of this has been absolutely great. So starting with really the revenues, we're about 25% of our revenues, just over that right now, which is about normal. We're 25% of, you know, part of the year. And so that's about target right now to be in our first quarter. Just about the same as we were in 2019 and 20. We're about 3% less than that point, of course. Where we are right now, we're ad valorem. We're about 1% less than 2019-20. We're 42% collected. Part of that is there are a number of folks, but not as many as we nearly expected, that are holding off on paying property taxes or whatever economic situation they're in right now. A little bit, 21% less on licensing and permits. We believe that that's attributed to the forbearance that currently exists for business licenses in Story County because of COVID. So those would be recaptured at what point that forbearance is expiring. There's some intergovernmental funding that's about 11% less than last year. In some of this, there's funding that comes from the state for everything from child welfare, indigent services, and other types of things that come from the state. It's a little bit less, and that could be increased. There's some slowdown in that as well because of COVID. And then lastly, there is 25% for the first quarter of Tesla and the second quarter of Tesla. There is a payment missing on that we're addressing with Tesla. So other than that, kind of the theme on revenues is to be cautiously optimistic. It's not nearly as bad as we thought it would be, but we know that we're not out of the woods, and I want to commend what's going to go next is with our department heads and expenses. You're ready, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, go right ahead, Austin.
All right. So our department heads have done a great job with their budgets, knowing that we don't know what kind of territory we're in, so we're being cautious, and spending is just about 25%, right about where it should be. We do have some increases in our insurance. Some of that is our fees going up. We have found that we have a number of cars that are no longer in service, and we're going to offload those cars to the Comptroller's Office and Public Works. We're working on that now to get those out to auction and off of our insurance. And then we have acquired some buildings and other facilities that have caused a slight increase in insurance. Emergency management is up substantially because of COVID. However, that will be recaptured with CARES Act funding, so that will be neutralized once that accounting is completed. You'll see in the itemized areas, there's a couple areas where we're over budget for computer software, things like that. That is part of the Office 365 conversion, and our team has gone through all of the website and email domains, and we're getting rid of some of those domains. We have to pay for all of those. So when you email hr@storycounty.org, that's a domain. We have some xyz's at storycounty.org that we no longer use or haven't used. When we get rid of those, it will neutralize that, bring about where it belongs. Capital outlay is significantly up this year. Based on the conversations we've had and the direction from the board, so I'll go kind of down the list of things that are going on right now. We know that the sewer improvement projects in Gold Hill and part of the Enterprise Fund of Virginia City Gold Hill is going on, and the water tanks replacement and the 5-mile water line replacement and other water line replacements, that's a major part of it. While that is up right now, we will see a neutralization as USDA funding comes back and reimburses for that, and then over a specified period of time per contract, and we will pay that back. It's important to note that everything that goes on water and sewer in the Enterprise Fund is paid for by the ratepayers of Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Solar City. It is not paid for by the residents of Highlands, Mark Twain, Lockwood, or Tri, or any other place. It's similar to the Canyon GID or the Tri GID, where their improvements are paid for by the ratepayers. The rates in this area are set by the rate study that was performed by Far West Engineering and were qualified by the USDA, the federal government, to make sure that we are paying enough into our system to pay back for the necessary improvements if we want to continue to drink water and flush toilets. Other projects that are going on outside of Virginia City Gold Hill in the water sewer area are the Justice of the Peace Justice Center, that's one, the 911 Dispatch Center down at the bank building that you heard about earlier, the Virginia City Highlands Community Center and Fire District Bays, the Lockwood Perry Ranch Road reimbursement, the possible Lockwood access to the towers project that's soon to come. There's some costs associated with that, maybe about $127,000 potentially in Lockwood. The Mark Twain Culverts project that you heard that Jason W. is working on for drainage improvements. Various road projects that Jason and his team have done throughout all of the county. The Lockwood Senior Citizen Center that hasn't begun yet, but there's costs associated with that. And the IT Information Technology Department office that they'll need for their equipment. And then outside of capital improvements, the BCTC and Piper's Fund, they're right around 25% as well. Danny and his team have been very cautious in spending and also in diverting funds and targeting marketing, as you heard Danny talk about, from more of the local market, a little bit of Northern California, to try to address the market that exists right now under the COVID situation. It's important to note that this next spring, we will be building our CIP phase two. So we have a CIP now, and it's funded for this year. We will now have a 5-year CIP, and if there's a project we know we're going to build in year five, the CIP will actually fund it year 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then 5. So by year 5, no matter what happens with county situation, that money will be there for that capital improvement that's needed. Some of those that I talked about above might be in that CIP, or they're in the CIP, but that might be year 4, 3, or 2, or maybe have already happened. And then last, you're going to see coming from Jennifer's office is an infrastructure ordinance. There are certain items that we use these infrastructure tax money from that need to be in ordinance and that ordinance will specify the money of the building's capital improvement projects. So for the general fund, that is the summary, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin regarding this portion of the budget?
Saying great job. Thank you. No questions.
Very good. Commissioner Carmona, how about you, sir?
Not very chatty today. No questions, but amidst COVID, I am very happy to hear that we are still moving forward with, again, the projects in the different communities. It's extremely important that we, show the taxpayers that their money is working hard. So that's all I have for that. Thank you.
It is. It looks like our departments are doing a great job of keeping their budgets in tow there. What gives me heartburn is when Austin lets us know that Tesla hasn't made their payment. And, every business in Story County, except for Tesla, pays property taxes. Now, we have a general service agreement with Tesla, so if they were to go ahead and pay the county for the services that are rendered throughout public safety and public works and everything else that's necessary. Now, the purchase of the fire engine, the staffing of the fire station, things like that. So it gives me great heartburn to find out that they haven't paid us, and I'm going to bring it to my board that if they're going to continue on this track of not paying timely, that I think that this board should pull Tesla in here on a show cause hearing on why we shouldn't suspend or revoke their business license to operate in the county. And maybe direct Public Works to go ahead and suspend all inspections, committee of development is suspending all inspections out there and red-tag whatever projects are going on, because this has been a bad habit that Tesla has in the way they're treating Story County. And I don't think we should put up with it any longer, This just seems like we're always resubmitting invoices, and they lose them, and it's the wrong email address, and that person doesn't work there anymore. Well, I know that in the rest of the businesses, if you don't go ahead and pay your taxes, you don't get your business license renewed. And I think that Tesla shouldn't be treated any differently. And so, Commissioner Carmona, Commissioner Gilman, I'm happy to hear what your response is to my suggestion of bringing them before this board.
Personally, Marshall, I couldn't agree with you more. Commissioner Carmona, in the least, there should be fees, penalties associated with these lack of payments.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
This is Keith Lewis. We are deliberating on an issue that is not set forth on the agenda. I think if we want to address and deliberate on something like this, we should have it on the agenda, perhaps at the next meeting.
All right. Well, I mean, we're just talking about the budget, and it was mentioned by the county manager that we have someone who hasn't paid. So, it's kind of part of the budget. If it came up to where we couldn't pay our bills because somebody didn't pay their share, I think it's part of the budget, isn't it?
It's associated with the budget, but it's a question of what steps should the county take in order to address that issue, which is really separate from a report on the status of the budget.
Okay. All right. I'll take your advice.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to work with our folks in addressing this at a future meeting.
Okay. All right. So, with that said, we're going to go to item 14, which is to recess as the Story County Board of County Commissioners and convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. And Mr. Osborne, if you'd like to continue on.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, may I respectfully ask, is there public comment on the last item?
It's not an action item, so I don't think we take public comment, do we?
It's not required.
Okay. Thank you. All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Same things I said before, so our next convening is the 474, and some speaking regarding 474 matters. Fire Chief Nevin is aware of the budget that Jennifer has been monitoring for 474, and what I'm doing is summarizing essentially what Jennifer has put together in her budget summaries and her tracking of the document. So in this case, we have revenues for the 474 Fire District. It is a separate fund than the general fund, as we're aware. It is about 25% of revenue that comes in for the 474 Fire District, which, as I said before, is about on par for being a quarter of the way into the year. The finding that they're about similar to the general fund and about where they lie in revenues, but they're a little bit different because fees and their business lines between things like that with different factors affecting 474. Same thing on 474, there is a payment for cash flow due that applies to the 474 as well as the expenses, salaries and benefits are right about 25% where they belong. Services and supplies and other appurtenances are under 20%, which is good. There's some overages, as you'll see, similar to the other budgets. So you'll look in there and see computer software, dues and subscription memberships to professional associations, things like that. A lot of those are purchased in the first month or the first quarter, and then they're not purchased again for the rest of the year. So that percentage is recaptured. It just shows an outlier in the first quarter. You will see that Chief Nevin has been really good with working on getting grants for software. He's gotten from Panasonic Group, TuffBooks, that allow him to do inspections and other work out in the field, and essentially iPads that are pretty strong and able to withstand weather and be lost and those sorts of things. And then there's the Switch MVP grant that they've gotten, so he's been working on that. Going beyond that is the Mutual Aid Fund. Right now, there is well over 25% of mutual aid in the budget because of the California fires in Oregon and outside of agency, but that will be reimbursed over time, so we expect that will level out itself over the year. Otherwise, your board has taken action to approve the collective bargaining agreement with the Firefighters Association. This is following several years of working with them in arbitration. We were able to come to an agreement with about a 6% increase. That will be worked in by the comptroller's office and the fire chief over the next coming months. And then so the same thing with the other budget. We're working very hard to be cautiously optimistic. And the fire chief has done a great job in keeping his budget tight and watching those ones. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Great. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin regarding the 474?
No questions, thank you.
All righty. Commissioner Carmona?
No questions. I've said it once before. I'm just happy that after several years, we're able to put this behind us.
Yeah, I echo that. That's good. And, of course, our hats go off to Chief Nevin for keeping his budget in line. So, very good. Okay. This brings us up to... item 16, we will recess as Astoria County Fire Protection District Board, and we will convene as Astoria County Water Sewer Board. Bringing us item 17, discussion only, the first quarter of the 2021 budget versus the actual on the Astoria County Water and Sewer Funds. Mr. Osborne.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record, County Manager. I talked a little bit before about some enterprise funding, but I'll say it all over again because we are convened at this board. So we're working within the enterprise fund of the water and sewer system for Virginia City, Goldfield, and Silver City. It's important to remind ourselves that this is an independent fund, an independent system. So folks that are living in other parts of the county are not paying into our water system. It's done independently. We do have employees, for example, that they work for Astoria County, but a quarter of their salaries may come from the sewer and water fund. Quarter of their time is devoted to whatever is related. So in this enterprise fund, we're aware that a rate study was done by Far West Engineering to determine based on the improvements we've had to make to capital in this area for a 140-year-old system, what is needed to recapture and make sure that we maintain ourselves to be sustainable, and the rates are set according to that. In revenues for this year, we're about 25%, so we're a quarter of the way into the year. That's to be expected, and that's good. There's some USDA bonds that are being deposited or will be deposited when these projects like the 5-mile water system or water tanks, the 5-mile water system, and the Goldfield sewer treatment plant are completed. And for example, with water, you'll see there's about $2.376 million that ultimately will be reimbursed at $3.171 million to the USDA loan or grant for both. Sewer is about $50,000, and then there is about $264,000 left to work on that will be reimbursed and then paid back through the water system rates. Some of these things you will find are right now they're in various revenues that we transferred over to capital improvements in the budget. Jennifer has been working on that with us. And then, once again, it'll be paid back through the rates of Gold Hill, Virginia City, and Solar City. As far as expenses go, same thing. We're just about 25%, exactly about what we would expect to be at this time of year. About 14% at services and supplies. We're running a little bit ahead, good there. And then we're over a little bit on dues and fees, some overtime, and the prices of chemicals have gone up unexpectedly. So Jennifer will work within the budget to be able to move funds to make that whole and correct. And then we had talked about earlier about a capital improvement plan. We will also be working these improvements into a capital improvement plan and getting that ready for the board to take action on in the coming budget season.
Very good. Thanks, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin regarding the water and sewer budget?
I do not. Thank you, Marshall.
Thank you, Lance. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Austin?
No questions, Chairman.
All right, thanks. Yeah, Austin, you know, you've pointed out, I mean, where we are with the budget and that, and then we've done a lot of public works projects with water line, sewer plant, water plant, storage tanks, new treatment plant in Gold Hill. Now, most of these projects, we've had to borrow a certain amount of money on this, and although we have gotten extremely terrific rates from the USDA Rural Development on building these out. And you've pointed out that only the rate payers within Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Silver City are responsible for the repayment on this. I know it's been suggested out there by someone saying that there's another way for these projects to be paid for outside of the rate payers. And as far as I've ever heard, it can't be done. So I'd be very interested to find out what strategy there is to get somebody other than a ratepayer to go ahead and pay for this service. So anyway, thank you for that. Let's go ahead and recess as the Story County Water and Sewer Board and go ahead and reconvene to the Story County Board of Commissioners. It'll bring us to item number 19, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of the second reading of ordinance number 20-312 and ordinance amending Story County Code section 2.22.080A in chapter 2.22, County's List of Qualified Appraisers, in order to better develop a list of appraisers qualified to conduct appraisals of real property owned by the county and offered for sale or leased by the board, provided appraisals of real property proposed to be purchased by the county and providing for other properly related items. Mr. Loomis, are you going to take this, sir?
I can do that, Mr. Chairman. The in Story County Code Chapter 2, we have set forth the provisions for developing a list of appraisers for real property. That was fairly extensive because it covered what the statute requires is you utilize an appraiser from the county, but when we went and looked to see if there were any appraisers in the county, there were none. So we expanded the category to Northern Nevada. That turns out to be a little too broad to be workable, and so the proposed amendment is to focus more on people that have backgrounds in appraising historic properties and limit the size, the scope of the area to not all of Northern Nevada. And remind me if I'm wrong, but I think it's Carson City, Story County, Lyon County, and Douglas County. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Washoe.
Austin. I am Washoe. Okay. So it limits the scope of the area that we're going to look for appraisers into to a smaller area. And to have people that have some background in the appraising historic properties.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding the the second reading of this ordinance?
No, thank you, Marshal.
Great, thanks, Lance. Commissioner Carmona, the same question to you.
No questions, Chairman. Thank you.
All righty. Well, we open up for some public comment. Do we have any public comment on this item? All righty. I have no comments either, so I'll go back to Commissioner Carmona and ask you if you'll entertain a motion to approve.
I'll be happy to make that motion, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the second reading of Ordinance Number 20-312 and Ordinance Amending Story County Code Section 2.22.080A in Chapter 2.22, County's List of Qualified Appraisers, in order to better develop a list of appraisers qualified to conduct appraisals of real property owned by the county and offered for sale or lease by the board, proposed to be purchased by the county, and providing for other property-related matters.
Very good.
I'll second Jay's motion.
All righty, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Moving along now. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Moving along now to item number 20. This is discussion for possible action, approval of business license second readings. Are there any public comment regarding these business license second readings? All right. Mr. Osborne, did you... You usually go ahead and do this.
Okay, Mr. Community Development Department does recommend approval of all of the business license second readings, A through L.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion?
Yes, I move to approve the second reading of business licenses, A through L.
Second.
Yeah, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 21. It's getting close to the end of the meeting, so we'll open up for public comment.
Chairman McBride, Sam Tolton, Goldhill, can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Good. Great presentation by Egon, highlighting some of the great growth and potential of our Northern Nevada community, but also highlighting some of the challenges that we have in terms of infrastructure and providing wages that can actually afford to pay for the housing here. I did hear you when you asked what clever proposition or proposal I might have to lower the water bill. A quick inspection of the amount of money we paid Jason Wardzecki for being our public works director penciled out to right around $9,000 a month. So paying that kind of the money, as I said earlier in the in a candidate forum, and he can't handle the entire job, and we've got our right fielder playing third base. I happen to believe we've got an excellent third baseman playing third base in Jason Wardzecki as the public works director. The thing I would do, I think there's about 715 users, according to what Mr. Wardzecki told me. If we take Mike Nevin's contract and retire it and have Jason do that portion of his job, which, you know, we're paying $9,000 a month to a guy in that position, he should be able to do the entire job, not just a portion of it. Then we could pass those savings along to the ratepayers. Granted, that would only be a couple of bucks, but in today's day and age, a couple of dollars, wherever it comes from in savings, is money well saved. So that's where I'd start. I'm sure there's other places. One of the things that I would do is I'm sure there's a reason we can't. Actually, I know there's a reason we can't. But to not have to borrow the money in the first place. We've been told for years and years and years that there's rivers of cash flowing through down C Street from the industrial park. And it would be great to be able to use that money and not actually have to take out another credit card, regardless of how inexpensive the interest rates are, and shoulder the taxpayers or the ratepayers with those expenses. So those are just a couple of ideas. I'm sure there are many more, but I want to thank you for your time and appreciate the opportunity to comment. Thank you.
Thank you. All righty. Additional public comment. Hearing none? Okay. We're going to be back. I think it's on the 1st. Is that right, Vanessa? The 2nd. We'll be back on the 2nd. We'll be back Monday the 2nd will be our next scheduled meeting. Okay? Until then, this meeting is adjourned.